And the Lord has taken us very rapidly in this. Just to let you know, as we formed a missions committee here at the church, a steering committee and a larger missions committee, it was neat and exciting to see all the people that were interested and all the people that were willing to help out. But just to let you know, our plans were to do what we've done in 5 months over the next year to year and a half. But that wasn't God's plan, apparently. I felt sorry for Mike Wednesday night and last Sunday because these missionaries are coming in so quickly. We don't have time to check with them what kind of technology they're bringing, and they bring Mac stuff, and we can't run that as well. But we're getting it worked out. But I knew it was very difficult on our sound people. But as I told Mike, this was not our plan to do it this fast. But it was certainly God's plan. Amen. To do it this fast. And my message this morning is kind of a primer on missions. To some of you, this will be old hat. To some of you, you will learn a tremendous amount this morning. But the title of the message is Simple Plan, Just Do It. And really, what God has called us to do as a church, big C, and as a church, little C, a local church, is not real complicated. But we live in a time where the church has really got bogged down and is trying to do a million other things besides the simple plan that God gave us. Amen. And I want us to get back to that simple plan and talk about it this morning. So if this will all work well, no Mac this morning, so hopefully this will all work well. You're looking at what we call the Great Commission. We looked at this several weeks ago, and I just want to rapidly go through this. But this is the one thing. You know, we have the joke nowadays, you had one job. I don't know if Christ will do that at the judgment seat, but he should. To all of us, he should say, I gave you one task, one job. And hopefully, we've done that. We've carried that out. But he told the church before he left, he said, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, we could spend all morning just on this verse, and we have some mornings. But just to point out the fact that the goal that we have, the thing that God left for us to do, is to make disciples. Amen. Now, that's not just get people saved, obviously, here. Make disciples. I mean, even in this same book, when you see Jesus talking to his disciples, he even told them, listen, you're not worthy to be my disciple unless you take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. So even within the same book, if we're looking to make disciples, it's not really what we're seeing over the last 60 to 70 years in the church. It is a disciple. And a disciple is one that not only hears the gospel and comes to faith in Christ, and thus is baptized to publicly proclaim that commitment, but a disciple is also one that learns to, as it says, to observe all that I commanded you. A real disciple is one that you can look at and you see Christ in him. So that's the goal. Our work in people's lives is not over until that takes place. And then they're to reproduce that. So it's not a complicated plan. It's a simple plan. And we need to keep that in mind. And so, as we look at the geographical reach that we're supposed to do this in, we see the verse that we looked at again a couple of weeks ago. But you will receive power. By the way, let me make this connection. In that command that we just looked at, you note what he said right at the end. Right at the end of that, in Matthew 28, he says, and lo, I am with you always. Remember that lo is, you know, we don't really say lo, do we? I mean, how many times in the last week have you said, lo, I'm going to the grocery store? You know, we don't use that anymore. But in Greek, that's very strong. It's like, remember. And Jesus said, remember, I am with you to the end of the age. In other words, I'm with you till I come back and this task has been taken care of. This is what you do until I come back, and I'm with you all the way. He also said, by the way, before that, that all power and authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So he's given this tremendous task to us to reach the world, but he said, listen, wait, I'm with you all that time, and I have all power and authority. And also earlier in the book of Matthew, he said, listen, I will build my church. Now you put that all together and you realize that the task that Christ has called us to, he is going to do through us. He is going to give us the power. Just like he says here, look at this connection. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and to the remotest parts of the earth. Again, we talked about this several weeks ago, and I think this is an outline of the book of Acts, to be honest. But it also shows how the mind of God works in the sense that when he calls us to do something, you're to do it where you're at. You're to go out a little further and do it, and then you're to do it all over the world. And that's really the focus that local churches should have. There should never be a local church that's just doing foreign missions. Never should be a local church that's just trying to reach people right around them. I mean, once it's developed, yeah, when you're planting a church, that's one thing. But we should be global Christians. That's why we've started to mention our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world in this modern age, when there is more Christian persecution than there has been ever in the modern age. Right now, our brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering. And we should be connected with that. We should remember that. We should think beyond Whitney, Texas. And so he tells us the geographical reach. It's all over the place. It's all over the world. The church is to be all over the world reaching people. What about, can someone be saved without hearing the gospel? Listen, this is critical. I'm so thankful for Sean putting this out. Wednesday night, Sean was up here, and Sean came from one of those families, like we have a lot of them around here, and a lot of them in Texas, a lot of them in the South, that say, well, yeah, Jesus died for my sins. I'm probably a believer. You know, our towns are full of people like that. They have this basic head knowledge. They're lost as lizards, folks. They have no idea what the gospel is or why Jesus even had to die on the cross. And Sean pointed that out to us. He said, that's the way I was. Yeah, I knew Jesus died for my sins. What did that mean? And so the guy that was discipling him took him to this passage. Now, I want you to look very carefully at this passage. This is the message that they need to hear, and then we'll go to the passage. Listen, this is the exclusivity of the gospel. Every time you start getting that kind of let's just get along, tolerance, ecumenical feeling, go back to the Word of God. Because real love speaks truth. And the real truth is the fact that no one can be saved unless they hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. That's pretty exclusive, isn't it? That really doesn't leave any other ground but right where Christ is. That's it. Then he said in John 14:7, Jesus said that himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come to the Father but by me. I think that's 6, not 7. All right? So the gospel is exclusive. And when you go to Paul's reasoning in that section where he's talking to the Jews, this is what he says. For whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who's the one that's going to be saved? They have to call on the name of the Lord. That is the Lord. That's Yahweh. That's the God of creation. That's the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament. That is God. And so you have to call on Him. Not something close to Him, something you've created in your mind, but Him, the God of the Bible. It says, how then will they call on Him in whom they have not believed? That's a good question. How will they believe in Him who they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good tidings, of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news. So Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So if they don't hear the word of Christ, the testimony of the gospel, they cannot be saved. How do you think that the United States of America, now in human history, became the largest sending agent as far as a country in the world for hundreds of years? How did they do that? For the last 44 years. How did they do that? Because they believed this. The Puritans believed this. Our founding fathers, many of them, believed this. The Judeo-Christian ethic that saturated our society believed this. Why did people leave? Like the Spicers. I've left the letter down there. Why do people do that? Why do they go back? They leave their kids, their grandkids, their ailing parents. Of course, their ailing parents have people caring for them. But why would they give that up? Because of this. You know, one of the things I used to share with my students when we were in Bolivia at the seminary is, do you understand the privilege that God's given you? Because when you look at Scripture, you understand that generation after generation after generation, since the Tower of Babel of people, maybe the Catholics, maybe every once in a while you'd find a priest down there that really understood the gospel, but not very often. Generations of people have died and gone to hell because there was no witness here. Okay, I want you to let that sink in. That's why our country passionately have spent millions and millions, probably billions of dollars, sending missionary all over the world. Because they can't put trust in Christ unless they hear. They've got to have a preacher. They've got to be sent. And God's given us the resources to do it. He's given us freedom of religion in the United States. He gave us a fertile field for His gospel to flourish in the United States. And people grew up in generations past seeing missionaries as heroes. Men to be and women to be highly esteemed. Highly esteemed. I don't know if it'd be pagan or not, but I want to tell you something. I have often thought that in our church, when missionaries come through that door back there to come speak to us, there ought to be a standing ovation. Man, if we can do it in a sports arena, we certainly ought to be able to do it here. Because I want to tell you that shooting star of sports is brief. But I want to tell you, when people go to the mission field and lives are changed for eternity, that is forever. That is forever. Are we called to go to all the language groups? That's the way I read it. What does it say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Acts 1:8, He told them, you go to the remotest parts of the earth. That's beyond all nations. That's to everybody. Wherever you find people, that's where you go. That's where you go. Larry Brown with Ethnos 360, I shared this with you also a couple of weeks ago, maybe a month ago. There's still 3,000 unreached people groups in the world. The population of these groups are equal to 5 times the population of the USA. And more than 88 million of the unreached are completely isolated from the gospel with no Christian witness whatsoever. How can they believe without a preacher? How can they believe if they don't have a preacher sent? They can't. We don't need to be putting Jim's coffee bars and all this stuff in our churches. We don't need to be trying to figure out how to not offend the American sinner in our churches. We need to be doing this. We need to be reaching the world who has no gospel witness whatsoever. How does it happen? Well, we have a pattern. The book of Acts is a historical pattern of how to do it. I'm convinced that most of what Paul did became a historical pattern that became really the most effective way to do missions, period. But that's another message. You see how we do it. We pray. We're going to pray. We're going to pray in this church that God would raise up missionaries from among us, that the Spirit of God would set apart missionaries just like he did in this situation that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, Acts 13. He would set them apart, and we would recognize that. We'd do everything we can to equip them, to send them out, to support them. That's the way it's done. That's the way it's been done from this point forward. That's the way it's done. We can't plead ignorance. God left us a model. The Spirit chooses and guides the missionaries. You heard Sean, if you were here Wednesday night, you heard Sean. You know, they knew God was calling them in that area. But you've got hundreds of language groups at various stages of Bible translation. Some have heard the gospel, some have not heard the gospel. So they went there for 4 years, and for the first several years, they were praying and asking God as they did research, what group do you want us to go to? And God led them to Manum Island. The Spirit of God still works that way, folks. He still guides us. He guides us every day if you'll let him. But he certainly guides in the missionary endeavor. If we start praying, God, take from among us. John Calloway, sitting back there, he was in this church many years ago. God laid it on his heart. Take him to Bolivia. He got down there and in love. First time we sent him was to get a bride. Second time, I think he did some mission work. First time was to find a bride. And all of his kids, you know, the second time they went, they took the whole tribe. God, Joanne and I came back from the mission field in 95. He kept us here. You guys loved us, encouraged us. And in 1999, called us again. We went to Bolivia. And God will still do that. If we pray. If we pray that God would do it. If we're open to it. God's guiding Paul and the other missionaries along the way. God focused on making disciples as a result of church planting. You say, okay, make disciples. But as you look in the book of Acts, you see that the model was you're making disciples to plant a church so that church can make disciples and plant another church. So that's how we got here, folks. Amen. That's why Prairie Valley Baptist Church is here. Amen. All those people that founded this church, they had been led to Christ and discipled somewhere else. That's the way it works. You heard Sean say, we're going to plant a healthy church on Manum Island. That's the goal. And you know whose responsibility is once they plant that healthy church? It's not the foreign missionary. It's their responsibility. then to continue that. That's the chain. It just keeps going. God is building His church. The question is, are you willing to be a part of that or not? You're His bond slaves. He's called you to this. You should be involved in one way or another. All of us. This priority has never changed or diminished, and we still are responsible today for this. So what can we do? Well, go if you're called to go. Don't go if you're not called to go. You see very clearly here the Spirit of God called Paul and Barnabas. He will do that. He still does that. It'll be very clear, very evident to you that God's calling you to the mission field. And we'll work with you. We'll provide all the training we can from here. We'll get you connected up with a good, solid missions agency. We will pray for you. We will support you. Your church will be behind you in this. Give. And we're going to talk just a minute about making the missions giving intentional. And pray. Stay engaged. Listen, I'm about to dazzle you with all the missionaries we have. I'm going to show you all their pictures. We got a lot of missionaries. And it is incumbent on us as the missions committee and the mission steering committee, and actually David heads that up. So if you don't get something done, blame it on David. But honestly, they have done such hard work, and we have advanced so fast. We are just praising the Lord right now for that. But we will get tools in your hands so that you know who our missionaries are, and you can pray for them all the time. Now, the missionaries have done some of that. We've had prayer cards on that table all throughout the last 5 months. Hopefully you've got them. Did y'all notice Sean had my idea? Sean didn't say put them on the refrigerator. He said put them in the toilet right there on the wall. All right. So stay engaged with your missionaries. Keep up with them. They'll keep us informed. There has never been a time in the history of the world where we could stay more informed with our missionaries than today because of electronic stuff. All right. I'm going to ask you this about going. And I'll just be real frank here. I'll be real frank here. If you can't pray this, is Jesus Lord of your life? Maybe you need to ask yourself that. Maybe I need to ask myself that. Can you honestly pray, Lord, I'm yours. Use me however you desire to use me, anywhere you want to use me, to take the gospel of the world. Now, for some of you, He may give you a job at Bell Helicopter. And that's where He's called you to take the gospel. Some of you, He'll take you halfway around the world. Number two, pray that God might give us the privilege to see missionaries raised up, should be, from our ranks right here, from our little church. And thirdly, pray that God might use our children and grandchildren however He chooses and whenever He chooses. Can we pray that? Do we have the courage to pray that? Maybe it's something else. Do we have the faith to pray that? Not only the faith that God will do it, but the faith that God will take care of our children and grandchildren wherever He takes them. Because it is a frightful thing. It is a frightful thing. But remind yourself, God's building His church. Jesus is building His church. He has all power and authority in heaven and on earth. He is always with us. That means He's with your kids and grandkids too, wherever they are. They could be in some of these closed access countries where it's against the law to share the gospel. There are missionaries there right now. There's somebody's sons and daughters and grandsons and granddaughters. But they're in the safest place they can be, right in God's will. They really are. This was Paul's go. Sometimes I remember hearing a missionary, a short-term missionary years ago. I was talking to him. I don't even remember. It may have been Bolivia. It may have been in Eastern Europe. I don't remember. But he told me, he said, I'm doing missions like Paul did, I'm coming and I'm working. They call it tent-making missions. And you know what? There's not a problem with that. If that's the way God called you to be a missionary, then praise His holy name. But that was not the standard way that Paul did missions. Did you know that? It really wasn't. He worked some. He did make some tents, literally. He was a tent maker. He did make some tents. But you know what most of his support came from? Churches. Most of them was churches he planted, which is very appropriate. Very appropriate. This is what he wrote to the Romans. Whenever I go to Spain, for I hope to see you in passing and to be helped on my way there by you. Now, literally, this Greek word means helped on your way in the sense of help me with food, money, by arranging companions, and means of travel. That's the same thing Sean was doing Wednesday night. That's the same thing Walter was doing Sunday. Same thing John Page did. The Waldrips have done here. John and I did here at one time. Same thing. And why not? You know, one of the most damaging things that somebody said to my mom one time, somebody that was very close to her, is a missionary had been in her church, and she said the missionaries came begging Sunday. Listen, there are few privileges greater in this life than to support what the Spirit of God is doing through somebody. Amen. To take the gospel to a people that if they don't get the gospel, they're going to hell, folks. There's not plan B. This is the way that God said to do missions. This is the way He's called us to do missions. And so, Paul said, as I pass by, I'd love for you to help me financially so that I can keep going and reach the people in Spain. We are to tear a hole in the bottom of that offering plate trying to get our money in when somebody asks us to do that, because we will get all the benefit from it. Amen. When we give, and we give out of the right heart, people are saved. People will spend eternity with us. And it'll be just like Ray Bolts' old song, "Thank You." There'll be people walk up to you in heaven and say, "Thank you. Amen. Not only did I get saved, but look at all these people from my tribe. All these people from my town." Ways to give. Teach your children how to give early on. One of the things, as I look back, I wish we had done with our children, we taught them financial money management. And 10% did go, you know, in the church side of the little bank that we had. I wish we'd have had one aside that said missions. I'd like to see us give beyond our means. Like Paul wrote to the people in Corinth, talking about the other people, that they had given out of their poverty beyond their means. Can you ever give beyond your means? You can give beyond your means from your perspective, but you can't give beyond your means from God's perspective. Amen. Teach your children. Make a missions piggy bank. In fact, I think my wife's maybe going to do that with the kids at some point. As teenagers, have a portion of savings each year dedicated to foreign missions. This is my savings. This part's for foreign missions. As an adult, plant a garden for missions. Listen, if we can do that during World War II, Victory Gardens, remember that? I don't. I wasn't a barn yet. But y'all, some of y'all do. I know how old y'all are now, because everybody was... Victory Gardens. You know what we did as a people? As a nation, people sacrificed. They planted their own garden. Even in the city, if they had a little place of land, they'd plant a garden. So all that other food could go to our soldiers. Whatever it took, that's what our people did. You know what? This is much greater than the preservation of the United States in World War II. This is eternal. This is eternal implications. You might plant a garden. You might have a yard sale. You're investing. You might invest in one CD or one mutual fund or whatever, and you say, Lord, whatever you do with that, that's going to missions. All of it is. Well, except what I have to leave in there to keep making money. But I'm going to draw off of that, and I'm going to give that to missions. Every time I draw off of that. Every time. You can do faith promise. Some churches do, they run their whole missions program on what they call faith promise. And the faith promise is, Lord, if you give me, I've prayed and I believe you want me to give $1,000. But that's not in my budget. So you're going to have to give that on top of what I'm getting. And somewhere along the way, somebody gives you, you find out you paid too many taxes in the IRS. Yeah, IRS even could do this. Something like that. You make $1,000 on a deal and you never imagined that you'd do that. You recognize that's God. God did that, and that's going to our missionaries. And so there are so many different ways. The possibilities are endless. What I'm asking you to do is to be intentional, not just about giving to your church, your 10% or whatever percentage you have set, but be intentional about an amount or percentage that you give toward foreign missions. Right. I'm asking you to do that. Amen. I got to keep going. I want to stop and talk about some other things, but I got to keep going. Praying. Stay connected and up to date with our missionaries. Again, we've got all kinds of ways. Sean, before he left, I said, what's the big deal now? When we were on the field, it was Skype, to get to actually see your family. They may have been broken up. The image may have been. But, man, it was like gold to us to be able to see our family and to talk across the computer. He said, WhatsApp. He said, especially if it's countries that are closed access or whatever, that's an encrypted app for your phone. I put it on there. Sent a message to Elijah, who's in the Philippines right now with a bunch of students from Rio Grande Bible Institute and Rio Grande Bible College. And he wrote me back, man, we were at this church and this happened. You can stay connected with your missionaries. And if you stay connected with your missionaries, you're going to pray for your missionaries. If you don't, you probably won't. Or at least be, Lord, bless our missionaries. I mean, that's great. But let's be specific. Let's get invested in their lives. Okay? Pray specifically for the missionaries and pray for the missionaries by name. Okay? How do we do that? Well, Bill and Carolyn Waldrop, they're down in Laredo. They have been planting churches and preaching the gospel and caring for missionaries. They have a place down there where they have like apartments that missionaries can come and stay before they go off into Mexico to where they're planting churches or something. They have a place down there, a big old room down there, and it's stocked full of Christian literature. So when those missionaries come, he says, hey, you need some tracts? You need some Bibles? Whatever. Churches like us have sent money to buy that stuff. That's just sitting there waiting for them. And they say, praise God, we'll take a bunch of this. And they take off into Mexico. Wonderful ministry. Wonderful ministry. Elijah, Jessica, James, Abigail, Samuel, Naomi, and Benjamin, Edinburgh, Texas. Right now, Jessica is, her missionary task is taking care of five kids right now. And Elijah's in the Philippines teaching those students how to do missions. Isn't that awesome? And we get to support them. We do. John and Luella, Gracia. And question Page should be here, within a couple of weeks, like 12th or 13th or something. He's supposed to be born. And John's working in Cambodia, planting churches there in Ban Lang, Cambodia, right across the border from Vietnam. We get to be a part of that, folks. We get to be a part of that. Walter and Cheryl, they're over there when there are situations where New Tribes or Ethnos 360 missionaries have to go out in the middle of nowhere, and they just don't feel like they can educate their kids there, or maybe it's dangerous there. There is a Faith Academy there in the Philippines, and they know these are godly people that will invest in their children and give them a good education. We just heard from them. We're about to vote to take them on. Sean, Jenny, Zeke, Gabe, and Ash Richards, we just heard from them. I already mentioned him over and over. Manus Island, right off the coast of Papua New Guinea. He said there may be one person on the whole island that's saved, and he's not real sure about that person. They have no scriptures in their language. It's almost like a pioneer situation there. This is our national director of BMA Missions. If you've had the opportunity to get the magazine, they used to do a calendar. We have a magazine, and we have missionaries all over the world through the BMA, where we send in, it's a corporate program type thing. We send in to the BMA, and they support these missionaries. John David Smith, he will be here. He's a missionary kid. He'll be here in September to speak to us. I think it's the first Sunday in September, second Sunday in September, the 8th. He'll be here. Stephen Becky Cochran, were in training with us. Their kids were about the same age as our kids. They left training and went to Mali, West Africa, which is a very dangerous place right now. A lot of Muslim terrorists there. They worked there for years, training the church, building up the church. Now they work at Echo Ranch Bible Camp, and they'll be speaking to us at our Missions Discovery Fair in October, 25th and 26th of October. All right? That's not all. Say, where's all this money coming from? I'll tell you in just a minute. Hebron Theological Seminary, Jack's class and now Gary's class have supported a scholarship program at Hebron Seminary for the last, I don't know. We started that program probably in 2005 or something like that. So that's how long they've been supporting that. To help Bolivian young people that feel called into ministry that can't afford to pay for their schooling. And by the way, this is a work scholarship, so we're just not handing them money. They actually work on campus, and this pays for that. So Gideons of Hill County, every year we have the Gideons here. Wonderful people. They take the gospel all over the world. They really do. Every time they show us a video of them going somewhere and handing out Bibles. And they also, every year, they go in every school in Hill County to the fifth grade and hand out New Testaments. And all the schools are open to that, praise God, to this point. So, Texas Baptist Home, we send money to Texas State Missions every month. And that goes to support the Texas Baptist Home, Ellis County. It is, of course, back years ago when orphanages were around, it was an orphanage. And now, of course, they work with the foster care system to find great families for children that need family. They also do some crisis pregnancy counseling, and they also allow girls that, when they do that counseling, if they decide to keep their baby, they give them a place to stay until that baby is born and hook them up with a family to adopt that child if she can't keep that. Isn't that wonderful? Just wonderful. Texas State Missions. We have missionaries in the BMA all over Texas planting churches. Some areas are just areas that need a good, solid, sound church. Some of our missionaries are going into ethnic communities. We have Arabic missionary that goes into an Arabic community in Dallas and places like that. And they plant churches in there. Some in others. I think there's an Indian one somewhere that's planting churches in Indian community here. The mission field's coming to us. And when that happens, Instead of having sent a missionary halfway around the world, we have somebody that knows their culture and language that plants churches right here. Right here. Well, what's God doing through PVBC? God is reaching the world through Prairie Valley Baptist Church, and we are praying to God for a bigger piece of the world missions pie. That's what we want. We want to do more than we're doing now. Lord, will you give us the resources and the Spirit-led missions opportunities, and we'll expand your influence through us, your glory. I want to tell you something. At the beginning of the year, the deacons and you guys trusted the missions committee with $16,800. That's our missions budget for the year. Did you know that at the end of the year, we'll be well in that budget, but we will have given over $26,000 to missions? You say, wait a minute, how does that work? Well, we have our missions budget, and again, the missionaries we're about to vote on, that will be in that budget. And you say, but what about next year when we have them all 12 months? We've already figured that. We'll still have plenty. Even if you give us no more money, even if it's just $16,800 next year, that'll still cover all of those people. You say, well, where'd all the other come from? We took up a special offering on Wednesday nights. And by the way, I have to mention Peoria Baptist Church and Triangle Park Baptist Church also had a part in giving this money. Amen. So praise God that our corporation collaboration is blessing missionaries. When John Page came, we had an offering of over $3,300. Isn't that awesome? I don't know. Y'all must deal with more money than me, because when I say $3,300, that is a bunch of money to me, and it's a bunch of money to most missionaries. When Elijah and his family came, we gave over $1,500. Special offering. This is above and beyond the missions budget. Just a second. Sean Richards needed $4,500 for a boat. Prairie Valley gave $4,500. We gave over $2,400 Wednesday night. And some more folks stood up. One of them remained anonymous and said, we'll cover the rest. Sean doesn't have to worry about hot lava hitting his family and all that stuff. When that rumbling starts on that volcano, he can get in that nice boat and he can jump in that and he can take his family to safety. And of course that will serve and going in and getting food and all that stuff that they have to get 9 miles into the mainland and bring it back. I'm not trying to squeeze you. I mean, I'm overwhelmed. I am overwhelmed that we will give over $26,000. And by the way, it could end up being more than that this year. But I'd love to give more than that next year. Isn't that like a pastor's always wanting more? Listen, I will never ask for a raise, ever. But I'll get up here and beg for missionaries. Will. I sure will. If we can't get excited about that, I don't have anything else, folks. I really don't. I mean, think about, logically, rationally, think about the number of people who will come to Christ through all that you have done this year and the missionaries that are on the field preaching the gospel and planting churches, and how that will multiply over the years. It just doesn't get any better than that, folks. It really doesn't. It really doesn't. Let's pray.